May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I remember several years ago being in Florida and visiting with my cousin, whom I had not seen in many years. A wonderful person, a wonderful young woman as she was growing up, and then they left when we were in high school, moved all the way out to the West Coast, and subsequently she ended up in Florida. So I hadn't seen her for a long time, and so we decided to meet at the church where she goes there, and to meet before the third service of the morning. So I realized when I got to the church, I had seen the second service people get out of the church service, and there were 3,000 people there. And so I was kind of stunned by how the size of it all. And we then got together for the third service, and there were another 3,000 people at the third service. I don't know how many were at the first service. It was an incredible service with music. It's really kind of wonderful in one way to sing with 3,000 people at a church service. Up in front of the church, there was a baptismal font up on the wall. You probably have seen those, and where people get baptized by immersion right in the service itself, like we have baptism during our service. And it was an incredible kind of experience. They had their own band as well as other things. And the preacher was pretty articulate and so forth. One thing caught my eye was the preacher, the title of his sermon was, "Who's Going to Heaven?" And I had this sinking feeling that I wasn't going to be one of those that made the cut. And by the time he finished his sermon, I didn't make the cut. So after the service, we got together and for some lunch and conversation, and she wondered how I liked the service. And we hadn't seen each other in a long time, so what could I say? The music was fabulous. And it was. And it was wonderful to be there with her. That made it very special, very special. And I didn't say anything about the title of the sermon. I didn't really believe she believed that anyway, but at any rate, she did. But it seems like we have, and I don't mean we being St. Peter's Church or the Episcopal Church per se, but we've spent just decades and hundreds of years somehow or other wanting to speak for God in terms of who's in and who's out. Who's going to heaven and who isn't going to heaven. And then sometimes all kinds of things are laden down with doctrines and ways of doing business that says, if you did it like this, you're in. If you didn't, you're out. And I wondered for myself, I wondered this when I was growing up because I heard similar things. Because people in the valley that I grew up in didn't quite know what to do with Episcopalians, much less spell it. They didn't quite know what to do with us. And they certainly didn't like the Catholics. So the issue was, I had grown up with some of that, and it always perplexed me as to how we could speak for God. You're going to heaven, and you're going somewhere else. A number of years later, from my youth, but earlier than this experience, someone told a story of someone grabbing some breakfast outside of 10 Mile, Tennessee. And breakfast, I'd gone by 10 Mile before because I had a friend who grew up in 10 Mile, and we often wondered, who grew up in the smallest community, Fallsview, West Virginia, where I grew up, or 10 Mile, Tennessee? I think it was kind of an even split. Anyway, the story goes like this, that a Yankee comes to 10 Mile. Now, it's a Southerner telling the story. This Yankee comes to 10 Mile, and he orders breakfast. And with his breakfast comes grits. And he'd never seen grits before and wondered what they were. So he asked the waitress, said, what is this? And she said, well, it's grits. And he said, well, tell me about grits. So she told him about grits, and it didn't seem too pleasing to him. And so he was protesting more and more that it was on his plate. So finally, the waitress said these words to him. She said, honey, she said, grits is like grace. You're going to get it whether you order it or not. And I thought to myself, well, there's a theologian. Grits is like grace. You're going to get it whether you order it or not. It's a wonderful summary here in Ephesians about that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of God. So it's God, in my view, and I suspect in most folks in the Episcopal Church's view, it's God who, in fact, invites us into a closer relationships, into a fuller meaning of life, invites us into new life that we hopefully will experience together. And it's not some particular doctrine of the church that gets us in or doesn't get us in. Grace is pervasive. God seeks to love whom God seeks, which apparently is the creation, the whole created order. So this Lent, and any Lent, but this Lent today, in a way, is to invite us into two journeys. One journey is the journey to be open to receive the merciful love of God, God's grace in our hearts, and to see the implications for that in our world. That if we receive God's grace in our life, what does that mean about how we live our life? And the second invitation is this, that we're invited to go inside of ourselves, as well as outside of ourselves, but to go inside of ourselves, to seek to discover the meaning of life and God's presence in the stillness, and in our stillness of discovery. At the United Nations, there is a chapel that's part of the General Assembly building. And the chapel is probably a fifth of the size of this nave, very small. Looks like we're building something here even as we're speaking, but at any rate. So you go into the chapel, and in the chapel itself is 12 chairs and a rock in the middle of the chapel and some diffused light coming in from one end. And I got in there, and it looked strange to me. It was a chapel, but it was intended to be a place of meeting for all faiths who could come in and be present there. So I was there, and it was in New York City, and I felt more and more at peace being around that space. I was the only one there. And I went outside, and I said, well, what's the deal here? It was right by a wonderful window called a Chagall window. You know, the Chagall windows are fabulous. And that drew me down there to start with. But this was so almost empty in a way. And the chapel was created by Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the second Secretary General of the United Nations and also a theologian. Hammarskjöld died in 1961 seeking to mediate against some warfare in Africa. But he had created the chapel so that it would be intentionally stark, so that it might be filled with the creative stillness of the centers of people's lives who entered there. In other words, our prayers, our yearnings, our hopes, our dreams, our struggles, our tears, our wish for life at its depth and breadth within us and around us is what adorned the chapel. And as people would come through, there would be obviously a different adornment. So he left it open for all varieties of folks to come through. You and I are asked in Lent to consider going deeper within ourselves. And that's not an easy task, is it, for us in life? Because there's so much life to be lived around us, there's so much struggle and difficulty around us, that it's difficult to take the space and time, even to find the time, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, to just be still within ourselves and just let our own voice just subside for a few moments and just to see what is it and hear, what is it that we might hear within ourselves? And where is God in that stillness and in the quiet? So an invitation to go inward. John O'Donohue, who is a wonderful, monk and lived in Ireland, died unexpectedly in 2007 at a young age. But he wrote this words about discovering the voice of our own soul. What's the voice of our own soul? When you take the time to draw on your listening imagination, you will begin to hear this gentle voice at the heart of your life. It is deeper and surer than all of the other voices of disappointment, unease, self-criticism, and bleakness. All holiness is about learning to hear the voice of your own soul. It is always there, and the more deeply you learn to listen, the greater surprises and discoveries that will unfold. To enter into the gentleness of your own soul changes the tone and quality of your life. Your life is no longer consumed by hunger for the next event, experience, or achievement. You learn to come down from the treadmill and walk on the earth, and you gain a new respect for yourself and others, and you learn to see how wonderfully precious this one life is. You begin to see through the enchanting veils of illusion that you had taken for reality. You no longer squander yourself on things and situations that deplete your essence. You know now that your true source is not outside yourself. Your soul is your true source, and a new energy and passion awakens in you. What is that journey that we dare try to take or take to hear the voice of our own soul? Parker Palmer is a wonderful spiritual leader, Quaker, in the wider church, and he would say, what is that life that's living within you that's yearning to speak through you to the world? What is that life? What is it that we treasure? What is it that we struggle with? What is it that was hard to let go of? How can we be at peace if just for a few minutes each time to hear that voice that might be speaking to us the depth of our being? Well, our other invitation is to take God up on God's wonderful gift of grace. And that grace is available for us and for the stranger with whom we're about to meet. And so we're asked, as others who have journeyed on the wilderness, whether it's in Numbers when they were going between Egypt and ultimately the Promised Land, it's whether we find ourselves in that kind of wilderness or some other kind of wilderness, how is it that we can be open to God's grace? And if we're open to God's grace, then we're open to consider being about what we believe God is about. So what is God about for us? Justice, mercy, love, forgiveness, healing. What is God up to in the world? And so as you and I then go interiorly to find our own voice within our soul, we're also drawn to look beyond ourselves. At the end of the service, we have a dismissal. And the dismissal is not to say that the service is over, but it's to say that we're a people of the dismissal. That's who we are. We're a gathered people, but we're also a people of the dismissal. So this world that we're being dismissed into is troubled in many different ways. Different ones of us would describe it somewhat differently, perhaps. But we take into this troubled world ourselves, and we take in with good news that God, the God of creation, loves every one of us and beckons us to come into a relationship with not only God, but with one another in healing and wholeness. And that seems like such an impossible task, does it not, from time to time? But our work is actually to journey from rooms filled with fear in order that we might enter other rooms filled with fear. In other words, how can we go so interiorly that we can be somewhat at peace within our own house, that also then when we go out into the world, that we're literally moving from our own rooms filled with fear, that we're open to enter into other rooms filled with fear? And that's the invitation, is it not? Not just in Lent, but throughout our life. And what are those rooms filled with fear? And who's in them? And how is it that we seek to care for them and share life with them? We're called to go into the wilderness yet again. And the wilderness may be the wilderness that we find within ourselves, but it's also the wilderness that's around ourselves. We're called to make no peace with oppression or discrimination or racism or sexism, or all the other isms that seek to tear us apart. This is not a political party move. This is moving from what we believe the gospel is seeking to share with us. And how we do it will have our own unique way of doing it. So my friends, welcome to the people of the gathering, because you and I have come out of the context and come into what we call the people of the gathering. And at the gathering, we seek to get nourishment and strength and wholeness, to be able to ask those deep questions that are important to ask for ourselves. We're here to visit with Holy Table, which we catch a glimpse of what God is up to and has been up to in our world. But there's other tables that we gather around. Tables of conversation, tables where we engage in dialogue with one another. And it's at those tables where we, in the tables of service, where we ask those deep questions. And then we can't stay here, can we? We're dismissed. And where are we dismissed? Back to the context. The context, which is the place where we live. It's the place of God's creation. It's also complex, And so we take what we've learned here and move back into that complexity. So two invitations. One to go inside of ourselves, and one to go outside of ourselves. And this is the invitation of Lent, but it's really the invitation, is it not, whenever we gather for Eucharist or worship. So let's just be still for one moment and think about our own journeys. And I'm going to end it with just a little brief chat, which you're welcome to join with me. It'll be easy to follow, I think. Just be still for a moment. Journey inward, journey outward.